Good evening. Two federal judges told the White House today that the president does not run elections. That is the single biggest news of the day, and it is only part of the story. Let's start with those rulings. On June 25th, Judge Indira Talwani in Massachusetts issued a preliminary injunction blocking key parts of President Trump's March 31st executive order on mail voting. The order would have forced the U.S. Postal Service to refuse mail ballots unless states handed over their voter registration databases, creating a federal list of who could vote by mail and who could not. Judge Talwani said the order likely exceeds executive authority because the Constitution gives states and Congress, not the president, control over election rules. Separate from that, the day before, Judge Denise Casper permanently blocked a different 2025 anti-voting order on similar grounds. Together, the two rulings are a 1-2 punch. The administration cannot use executive orders to run the country's elections. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court made two rulings of its own. First, in a case called Mullen v. Doe, the court ruled 6-3 that federal courts cannot hear most challenges to the president's decision to end temporary protected status for roughly 450,000 Haitians and an unknown number of Syrians. The court said the TPS statute bars judicial review of non-constitutional claims, so immigrants can't argue that the administration ignored evidence of danger in their home countries. The majority did say constitutional claims, like racial discrimination, can still be filed. But it also said those claims are unlikely to succeed because the administration's opposition to the TPS program itself is a race-neutral reason. That leaves 500,000 people without the legal tools they used to have. The second Supreme Court ruling came in a case called Wolford v. Lopez. The court struck down a Hawaii law that made it illegal to carry a concealed firearm on private property open to the public, like a shopping mall or restaurant, unless the owner explicitly said yes. The ruling forces states to treat all such property as presumptively open to guns, shifting the burden to property owners, especially small businesses in lower-income communities, to explicitly ban firearms. The court's reasoning relied on its Bruin decision from 2022, which created a historical tradition test for gun laws. The other big legal story is still ongoing. A lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's $1.776 billion anti-weaponization fund is alive and kicking. A federal judge refused to dismiss the case on June 25th, even though Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche told Congress the fund was not moving forward. The problem, the judge said, is that the DOJ has not provided a sworn, signed statement from Blanche actually saying the fund is dead. So the case will proceed, examining whether the whole settlement, which used the federal judgment fund to pay Trump's tax return lawsuit, was lawful in the first place. On the economic front, inflation hit 4.1% in May, the highest in over 3 years. The main cause is the Iran war. Energy prices are up sharply, costing the average household nearly $450 more this year. Tariffs add pressure, but they are not the primary driver. The new Federal Reserve Chair, Kevin Warsh, held rates steady at the June meeting but signaled the possibility of a rate hike ahead. That is not a sign of political loyalty. It is a hawkish Fed trying to contain the damage. Then there's the Meta story. The company paused its keystroke tracking program for employee laptops after an internal leak exposed private chats and performance reviews across the company. The program, called the Model Capability Initiative, collected keystrokes, mouse clicks, and screen content from company laptops with no opt-out. Over 1,600 employees signed a petition, but the program only paused after the data breach made it politically impossible to continue. There are no federal rules requiring companies to disclose this kind of monitoring or get genuine consent. Finally, a quick set of other stories. A man in North Carolina pleaded guilty in a $60 million health care fraud that primarily targeted California's Medicaid program, not Medicare, as many headlines said. Two Honduran nationals were sentenced for running a $38 million off-the-books payroll scheme, but the employers who used their services face no accountability. DHS is weaponizing the case of an undocumented immigrant convicted of abusing a corpse to pressure sanctuary cities to comply with civil immigration detainers. And President Trump turned the Great American State Fair, meant to be a nonpartisan 250th birthday celebration, into a partisan rally, prompting six states to pull out and an ethics complaint over the use of public funds. And here is the bigger picture. We track all of this against Project 2025, the document that laid out a roadmap for exactly this kind of executive power grab. We have read, reframed, and logged 147 of its actions so far. The full arc, 937 actions, are on the record and mapped. The watch is constant. What is coming next? The DOJ will have to either submit a sworn declaration that the Anti-Weaponization Fund is truly dead or defend the case in court. The administration may appeal the mail voting injunction. The CFPB cannot issue a new digital payment app rule after Congress repealed it through the Congressional Review Act. The Supreme Court's TPS ruling means that next termination decisions will face almost no administrative challenge. And the OSHA heat standard rulemaking continues, but slowly, no final standard yet. That is it for Friday, June 25th. The courts are drawing lines. The administration keeps pushing. We keep watching. Stay safe.